Good morning, church, and thank you for tuning in again to these messages on faith. I'm looking at Hebrews 11 from the Hall of Faith with the names that are mentioned and looking at what made them great people of faith that are referred to that God used in a powerful way. Now, today I want to look at the story of Noah, a man of faith that condemned the world through his righteous act of obedience and became the heir of the righteousness of God. So Scripture says. And I like the definition that's given in Hebrews chapter 11 about what faith is in regards to a relationship with God. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. So that would eliminate wishful thinking. It is actually the promises of God that God fulfills. A request is made of God, and he fulfills it in faith, being sure for us of the hope that we have and certain of what we do not see. So the story of Noah is actually found in Genesis 6 to 9, but this morning I want to look in our Bibles at Genesis 8, 15 to 22, and take some great truths out of that passage in Genesis 8, 15 to 22. And I'm reading from NIV this morning. Then God said to Noah, "Come out of the ark, you and your wife and your sons and their wives, and bring out every kind of living creature that is with you, the birds, the animals, and the creatures that move along the ground, so they can multiply on the earth and be fruitful and increase in number on it." So Noah came out together with his sons and his wife and his sons' wives. All the animals and all the creatures that move along the ground and all the birds, everything that moves on land came out of the ark, one kind after another. And then Noah built an altar to the Lord, and taking some of all the clean animals and clean birds, he sacrificed burnt offerings on it. Notice the common thing of the sacrifices that God required and people offered in our first story on Abel. And now again in Noah, here we have this sacrifice burnt offering. And the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma and said in his heart, "Never again will I curse the ground because of humans, even though every inclination of the human heart is evil from childhood." What a statement is made about the human race there. Even though every inclination of the human heart is evil from childhood, "and never again will I destroy all living creatures as I have done." Verse 22, "As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease." And so the promise of God is called the Noahic Covenant, a promise that he established with men. Throughout Scripture, there are many covenants, and so today we're looking at this one in particular of what God will do in looking after the earth. So if I was doing an outline and describing what all is in this account on Noah, I would say it like this. First of all, that God condemned the wickedness of mankind. And secondly, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was one, and his family were the only righteous ones on earth, it says. And Noah saved his family and the human race through the obedience that he had to God to build this ark. And then the final point in this outline would be that God established a covenant with Noah to never destroy the earth by a flood. So again, the covenant that God established with man, a promise that if you do this, then God will respond with that. So that pretty much sums up the life of Noah, but the lessons of faith that we have in this story are rather interesting and great significance of learning for today in regards to our faith. There are four things I want to bring out in this story. And the first item of interest and influence in the area of our faith is this: God is the moral judge of the universe. God is the moral judge of the universe. All things are under his care, nothing escapes his attention, and he is totally in control. And he is the moral judge. So 2 Peter 3, verses 3 to 7 says, first of all, you must understand that in the last days, and people wonder what are the last days. I'd like to think the last days began with the church age at Pentecost. First of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is the coming of the promised one? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as if it has since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. And by these waters also the world of that time was deluged, referring again to the time of Noah, and it was destroyed. And by the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. Now it's interesting, there's two mentions here of the destruction of the earth and God's creation by flood and by fire. I think in the Okanagan we've had some experience with some of those things, that we've had devastating flooding and of course fires, and yet that'll be nothing compared to the end before Christ's return. And so in 15 years we've seen what damage comes from those two things of fire and flooding. And so those words ought to get us excited. Certainly we live in a day of scoffers following their own evil desires as they did in the days of Noah. And when God had enough, he put an end to it. He put an end to it by a flood. And when God said, this is enough, and it's time for this world to be destroyed by fire, it's going to happen in the end. So there's a link between the days of Noah and today. When Jesus was asked this question, what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? Jesus responded, and it's found in Matthew 24, verse 37, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. And that is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. So when man least expects it and life's going on and everything's great, Christ will return. And we're living in similar times as we are in the days of Noah. And God will not tolerate man's wickedness against him much longer. So God is the moral judge. That's the whole point of this first point in regards to our faith journey. And his timing is perfect. And he says we need to be ready, for no one knows the time or the day. But the wickedness of the world in Noah's day is a good indication of where we're at today in this return of Christ. And so in Noah's day, it's summed up with this statement: every inclination of the thoughts of man's heart was only evil all the time. Genesis 6:5. And so the sure sign of wickedness of man's hearts is that they only live in willful sin, and they mock and they ridicule those who live righteous lives for God. Today, I think in our society, there is an aggressive mockery of Christian faith. There certainly is a mockery of the Bible. And I believe that it'll only get worse, and it already is, as we approach the day of Christ's return. Another sign of the wickedness of man is the abundance of violence. The second sign of this wickedness that was evident in Noah's day was the abundance of violence. And twice in this text, violence is mentioned as the sign of wickedness of that day. And we live in a world of violence. Just this week in the news, how could a policeman hold a man down, handcuffed with his arms behind him, and put his knee on his neck and take his life? These are the men we uphold to keep the law. Once there is this kind of violence, it generates more violence and the consequences of it. In fact, our society doesn't recognize the infants, unborn infants, as real people. Some would even say, go as far to say that we murder babies and call it freedom of choice. We have ethnic cleansing and genocide wars, rapes and murder, and on it goes, and we see the violence, and even elderly people are getting beat up by thugs. And certainly with this coronavirus now, our elderly, the exposure that we get to see in some of the homes where they're so neglected. I wouldn't exactly call it violence, but I'd call it neglect of care. Young people going into schools and shooting classmates, and on the stories could go of the violence of the world. And we think with gun control we'll stop violence. No, it's of the human heart. And so the recent shooting spree in the Maritimes, the worst in Canadian history, using a fake RCMP vehicle to carry out the wickedness. What a thought. What a day we live in. And what a violence has taken over our society. And so the wickedness of man's heart and the lack of consequences for violent acts has made the world a dangerous place to live. But God is the moral judge of this universe. And all the more so, people, we need to be righteous people like Noah, who are obedient to God's word and live righteous lives, for we hold the truth in our hands and in our hearts, in our lives. And we may not be popular for holding to the truth of what God's word says, but we are not to be silenced when it comes to what is truth and what is right. And even if you are the only one that God can use, he will use you and protect you and empower you. So that's the first lesson of faith. The moral society, the decline, but God is in control. And we have that strong faith and ability through God's word, the truth, to carry out and hold to the moral values that God considers to be part of our Christian faith. The second lesson on faith is this. God always keeps his word. My spirit will not strive with man forever, for he is mortal, and his days will be 120 years, Genesis 6, verse 3. And some people think that God was saying man's days on the earth would only be 120, but that's not the case in this passage. It was that God said, I will give them, the people in Noah's day, 120 years to repent and get right with me. And that's the time that Noah used to build the ark, and yet in 120 years there was not one single convert outside of Noah and his family. You know, today we hear a lot about global warming and worldwide flooding, but it's not going to happen because God's keeping his word never to destroy the earth again by a flood. I like that promise. And we celebrate Earth Day, and I think as Christians we ought to celebrate this wonderful planet that God has given us, and we need to be good stewards of it and take care of it. And yet, I think there is an overabundance of attention to this green plan to save the planet, but few, if any, have a moral plan to save the earth. It begins with a change of heart and attitude that we actually take real action to save this planet. So don't grow weary in well-doing, for in the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. So stay the course. And if in 120 years of ministry for Noah didn't result in one convert, don't get discouraged. Keep the faith and continue to spread the word of God's love. Third lesson on faith. The third lesson on faith is this. God always rewards faithfulness. God always rewards faithfulness. Noah and his family never came out of the ark until God told them to. When they came out, the first thing they did was to build an altar to the Lord and give thanks for God's goodness. But before any further instructions are given, God again makes a promise to Noah and his family, never again will I curse the ground because of men, even though every inclination of his heart is evil from childhood. And never again will I destroy all living creatures as I have done. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. God's promise regarding the planet that you and I live on. And that promise resulted in a sacrifice, of gratitude that follows obedience in praise to God. And this is the first mention in the Bible of an altar being built. It's a very interesting study when you look at all the altars that were built in the Old Testament, all surrounding the whole idea of worship and sacrifice to their Maker. And after worship came more instruction from God to grow in their faith, be fruitful and multiply on the earth and rule over the earth. And part of God's reward for Noah's faithfulness was to give him the responsibility of meting out judgment on those who take the life of another human being. Whoever sheds the blood of a man, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God has God made man. And all the violence of man that Noah had seen in his day against man needs to be dealt with by man. And so Noah was appointed. And so in some ways, he became the first. It's again another first mention. First of all, the first mention of an altar of praise and worship, and then the first mention of human government, where a man would look after the institutions of responsibilities in when it came to murder and violence. And it appears to me there's a real problem today to follow this instruction given by God. Anytime we disobey God, there is always consequences, especially when it comes to dealing with violence. I realize that our prisons are filled with people of violence. And as much as we do in our human understanding and abilities that we have, though limited, to try to rehabilitate people, very few are rehabilitated. For it's not until the heart is changed that things change. So here it is, the fourth lesson now on this lessons of faith from the life of Noah. Number four, salvation is from God. And it is only through salvation that the heart of man is changed. A whole new direction is set. A whole new set of moral values is given. The standard becomes the truth of God's word and living in obedience to it, which results in praise and worship. Salvation is from God. Noah's deliverance symbolizes salvation from Christ. He condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. So Noah's faith to build an ark in a landlocked part of the world was a tremendous act of faith. And I believe it's not through acts of faith that we come to salvation, but because of salvation, we come to doing tremendous acts of faith. Noah's faith to build an ark in a landlocked part of the world was a tremendous act of faith. And I know there could be many stories around the whole building of the ark and what that looked like to people and the questions that they had of Noah, but his faithfulness, even through mockery, kept going for the cause that God had called him to. Noah truly demonstrated that we live by faith and not by sight. Noah's faith to believe a flood would happen when he had never seen a flood spoke of the true meaning of faith. In 1 Peter 3:20 and 21, it says this: God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built, and in it only a few people, eight in all, were saved through the water, and this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a good conscience towards God, and it saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Quite a good meaning and representation for baptism. And that is an interesting parallel between Noah's salvation and ours, for it is by grace that we've been saved. Through faith, Noah trusted God and was saved by faith. Salvation is for all, not just a select few, and it is for all who believe and call on the Lord to be saved. Let me wrap it up with a few thoughts that I'd like you to retain. There are many today who know the earth is in trouble, and most people know that there is much violence in the world and innocent lives are being destroyed because of it. Most people know that we're experiencing moral decline in every segment of society, and most people know that this world is getting worse instead of better. But few are willing to get on the salvation boat, if I can go call it that. Signs are everywhere, warnings are everywhere, and we're living in the days of Noah, but few are looking for the escape, the boat of salvation. And the lessons on faith from the life of Noah teach us that unless we completely obey and surrender our lives in faith to Jesus Christ, will never be saved. And so the challenge is, answer this question. Are you truly saved? Are you religious? Are you a good moral person? Or have you really submitted the will of your life to Jesus Christ and experienced the indwelling Holy Spirit? For that is how you know that you are truly saved. Noah was a man who found grace in the eyes of the Lord for a reason. And he was a righteous man, the Bible says. In fact, Noah's name means rest. I think that's a wonderful meaning for him. He found rest in God. And truly he knew how to rest in the Lord. And he left a legacy of faith for others to follow, including his family. And Ezekiel speaks of Noah's faith, as does Isaiah, Peter, and even Jesus mentions the faith of Noah. Obviously, his faith had a great impact on this world. And the everlasting covenant that God made with him reminds us of faith, of his faith, pardon me, to this day. The symbol that was left as a reminder was a rainbow. This precious, beautiful thing that God put in the skies as a promise, first time ever seen by any human being. And today, even that beautiful rainbow is being desecrated by some. I hold it as the promise of God. I celebrate it and I rejoice in it. I trust these lessons on Noah's faith will be of great encouragement to you as you evaluate your own lives. Let me pray. Father, I thank you for your precious word that holds true through times of sorrow and violence and wickedness and moral decline. Your word never changes. It's never altered by man to comply with man's thoughts. For your ways are far above our ways, and your plans aren't altered. And so thank you, Father, that we as the church that you have called out, the indwelling Holy Spirit's guidance guiding us through life, looking for the day of the redemption of our bodies and our eternal home in heaven with you. Keep us faithful in that. And in the process, Father, may we be able to take as many people with us as we can. May we be faithful in spreading the word of God, holding true to our testimony, so that you will be exalted. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. My audience of two.
The faith, the faith. smile.